sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We do a lot of conversations about aging and memory.
Yes.
Right? And we've, you know, my personal circumstance have been touched by that. But you know what? Sometimes it may not be a memory issue.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay.
For you, I know it's not a memory issue. It's a separate issue. Now, we've got, this is a great conversation. I did some education, as you know, around aging. Remember?
Yeah.
And how to deal with people as they're aging.
Correct.
And there was one particular exercise that I did that I found really surprising and startling. And so we're going to have, I'll come back to that a little bit later.
Okay.
We've got Dr. Susan Vandermoor. She's a clinical neuropsychologist at Baycrest. Also the co-author of a new study about the real reason for the apparent memory problems in our loved ones.
Uh-huh.
Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. It's scary, right? As we get older, you see your loved ones, you see them forgetting things sometimes, and we immediately jump to this notion of dementia and Alzheimer's, and it's a scary topic. But that may not, in fact, be the real problem. So if mm-hmm. one of your loved ones, has apparent memory problems, we can't immediately jump to that conclusion. Tell me a little bit about your study and what you found.
Sure. So in my study, in the work we do at Baycrest, we work towards advancing better approaches to optimizing healthy aging. But it's a healthcare setting at the end of the day. And mm-hmm. my work specifically is in a clinic where we do thorough investigations of persons who are concerned about memory change. Either they are concerned themselves or they, someone has brought them in saying there's something happening with my mom's memory. Mm-hmm. And so in the work that we do very detailed testing of memory. And one of the main ways we do that is we tell people some information, we distract them for a while, and then we ask for the information back. So a very sort of real-world memory test, if mm-hmm. you will. What got us thinking about this is that, we know from our clinical experience and from what clients tell us is that sometimes it may not be that there's a memory issue, it's that there's a hearing issue. So right. if a person can't recall what we told them a while ago, is it because there's a hearing problem or is it because of a memory problem? And so what we did in a research study was really systematically look at that in our patients who are coming in for memory investigation, how many of them have hearing problems, how well are those hearing problems managed, and what would it mean if we carefully attended to that?
How do you tell the difference? So if you're listeners got a loved one that's experiencing this, how would you know whether it's a hearing or a memory issue?
Mm-hmm. So that's a great question. And I think to back it up further, there are other things, right, that may be in the picture. It may be hearing, it may be stress, it may be a language issue. All kinds of things can contribute to what feels like a memory problem. Mm-hmm. But pulling apart hearing and memory is in some ways not so complex and also quite complex because often the two are happening at the same time. Certainly starting with conversations with the family doctor is the most important, that the healthcare provider who knows you well, who's been with you ideally for a period of time and knows your whole health history is step one. And that's really the main starting point for all of this. And then at the end of the day, what we want to look at is getting hearing tested, seeing an audiologist, having a thorough investigation, and also having some cognitive assessment as well.
Yeah, it's a combination of a number of things. And so I alluded to this educational program that I went through in
yep.
dealing mm-hmm. with the aging and a mm-hmm. natural part of aging. And it was...
Because what's your designation again on that?
Well, it's a certified professional consultant on aging.
Yep.
Okay. And I found the segment on hearing particularly interesting. And so what they had us do is put on some earmuffs and it muffled,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. or excuse me, I guess the audio playback that they gave us at the time was muffled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it was amazing when we took these earmuffs off and the earphones off and we all talked about it. There's a group of maybe 12 or 15 of us in there. What we heard, mm-hmm. completely different. Everybody had something completely different,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Interesting, right.
And so if you asked me to recall later, I could have recalled what I thought I heard, but it would be totally wrong, right? And
right,
so I could
right.
see very easily how that those two things could present a problem. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you tell somebody, Susan, if they've you're identifying this problem? What's the first step?
Well, oftentimes, you know, in the setting we're working in, I'm looking at people who have memory problems, and maybe I'm the first person to say, hey, I think you might have a hearing problem. But more often than not, it's people coming in saying, yeah, I know my hearing's an issue. Yeah, I turn the TV up, but, you know, I don't want hearing aids. I don't want that stigma. And there's a lot of stigma around hearing loss. There's sort of data out there from the research that says people take as much as 10 years before they seek treatment for hearing loss. And at least, many people who really could benefit from some degree of hearing treatment just don't want to take it up for one reason or another. So I think when they see me with a concern around memory, you know, there is a bit more motivation to get their hearing tested when they're in a memory setting and they're facing kind of the dreaded memory diagnosis or you know, the possibility of Alzheimer's disease. So in some ways, I feel like I'm in a good position to help people kind of cross that hump and you know, think, okay, maybe it is time to get my hearing checked.
So, Susan, are you suggesting...
We know that hearing health is brain health, right? And everyone's on board with brain health. Hearing aid stigma or not.
So let's say you have a loved one and you suspect they have memory issues or memory losses and so forth. Would the first place go to check for hearing and then come to you, or go to you first then go for hearing? Like,
it's a good question. So if you have a loved one who has, you know, some concerns around hearing loss or memory loss, and you're not sure what to do, I think the first place really to go is to that loved one and talk to them about it. What's their experience? What's their perception? Sometimes in the case of memory loss, a person's ability to remember that they have a memory problem is compromised. And so sometimes, you know, you're going to be faced with what seems like, you know, no, there's nothing wrong with me. Whereas in fact, they may literally be forgetting that they're forgetting. So in any case, you know, good frank conversation with your loved one first and foremost, and then the second point of contact would always be a family doctor or general practitioner, because again, hearing is a big issue, memory is a big issue. There are lots and lots of little issues that can mimic hearing loss or memory loss, and that that whole health perspective as a first point makes a lot of sense to getting things started.
Yeah, I think that that's terrific advice, Susan. We're gonna have to leave it there. I want to thank you for bringing this, you know, to the forefront, because that is a scary, that the brain health is a scary thing, and maybe we're jumping to conclusions that we shouldn't be jumping to.
And there's a lot we can do in any case. Right?
Yeah, thank you very much for your time and the research that you're doing.
Thank you.
I've been joined by Dr. Susan Vandermore. She's a clinical neuropsychologist at Baycrest, also the co-author of the study that we've just been talking about. And you know, Faisal, health is the health bucket, if you will, right, is an important bucket. There is a natural aging process. Things change for us as we get older.
Correct.
Right? I found this really interesting when I was reading the report and looking at the show that we were going to be doing, and going, you know what? That should have been an obvious connection, right? Because if you can't hear properly, you might recall it, but it may appear like you don't recall what the heck we were talking about.
Correct.
But you recalled what you heard.
Correct.
Right. Anyways.
Biggest fear in retirement is
health.
Is one of the biggest fears, right? And so, and the whole process of aging and the cost incurred as you age out of pocket, because people are concerned that the government won't be able to supply the same type of services that they have in the past. And so you'll have to pay out of pocket. How do you do that with paying for yourself, for your income and retirement and the stock market and the growth and all those different issues, taxes, all those things that come up, it builds a bit of anxiety as you transition to retirement.
Absolutely.
And so we want to show you the strategy behind how to make sure you can handle your income needs, growing your portfolio, paying for healthcare if that's a concern down the road, having a strategy placed for all those, and then minimizing tax. And we're going to discuss that on Tuesday, February 19th at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine, Spirits, and Beer. Now, our 7 p.m. session is fully booked, but you can book for our 8:30 session, which we've opened up, but we only have a few spots left because they've been filling up pretty quick. But you need to reserve your seats, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Yeah. You've commented before that this educational process gets received by a small number of people relative to the number of people we educate. And that's fine. That's just human nature you talk about, right? But this is, you know, this is process driven. And I think the anxiety that people feel often as they're facing this uncertainty or this transition time of retirement has to do with a lack of planning, right? There's a series of steps, right? These are proven steps. You just walk through the steps.
It works.
And
it
you
works.
Will get the answers. Now, you may not like the answers you get, but you'll get the answers that you need in order to figure out how you're going to make this thing work.
And it's a big step to go through this process. It is. It takes commitment to get all the information.
It does. Yeah.
It takes a little bit of work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of aha moments along the way.
Yeah.
And so it's a process that people need to go through in order to bulletproof their retirement.
That's right. And reduce that anxiety. Okay. Well said. Join us after the break because we're going to find out why people regret retiring. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.